is old-fashioned. Are you okay? This wasn't the Thorn I knew. Thorn had wandering eyes and definitely a wandering dick. Come on, he said as he put his glass down. You're my fiancé. I'm not gonna stare at another woman's ass when you're sitting across from me. I cocked my eyebrow. Because? I didn't care what he did during his personal time, and he certainly didn't care what I did in the privacy of my bedroom. You're afraid someone will see you? Yes, but it's also rude. How do you figure? He drank from his glass again before he licked his lips. You're going to be my wife. Even if we aren't in love, I still love and respect you. When we're together, you're the only woman on my mind. You're my primary focus. You're gonna be the mother of my kids. You won't have my fidelity, but you'll have everything else. I still want to be a husband to you. My eyes softened because I'd never expected Thorn to say something like that. I would hope the same from you, he said quietly. After all, it's the two of us against the world. Women will come and go, but we're in this together forever. So you're my priority, and I'd better be yours. You know, that's the most romantic thing I've ever heard you say. Yeah? He asked with a smile. I guess it is. Never thought I was the romantic type. That makes two of us. But I see your reasoning. Besides, I don't want my kids to see me checking out some other woman, you know. I want them to know we love each other and we're happy. The last thing I would want is for them to think I'm a cheater. I suspect they would never understand the parameters of our relationship, even as adults. No, probably not. He finished his drink and leaned farther over the table, his elbows on the surface. So, is Martha's Vineyard okay? Or were you just saying what my mother wanted to hear? It doesn't make a difference to me. What do you want? Whatever you want, he said. This is your big day. You know I'd like to just get hitched somewhere and get it over with. He grinned. True. The only thing I'm looking forward to is getting a dress. You'll look stunning. I'm actually looking forward to taking it off you. He gave me a heated expression, similar to the kind Hunt gave me. All we'd ever done was hold hands or kiss each other on the cheek. I'd never even kissed him on the mouth. Going from platonic friends to lovers would be strange. How is this going to work? Your meaning? We sat at a small table near the back of the restaurant. People were gathered around us, but we had enough space that we weren't overheard. You and I will always have other partners, so how do we take care of our sexual health? Do we get tested every time? I guess so. Because that would become tedious. Yeah, you're right. He rubbed his jawline as he considered it. I guess we could wear a condom. But I'm monogamous in my relationships. But you aren't always in a relationship. There's usually months in between, right? True. Then we should be fine. And during those windows, I'm not wearing a condom. It'll be a nice change. He locked his gaze with me, unashamed by his intentions. You don't think it'll be weird? I asked honestly. Not really, he said simply. You're a very attractive woman, Titan. I'm great in the sack. I think it'll be easy for both of us. Don't overthink it. None of this had bothered me until Hunt walked into my life. Now I felt guilty for even thinking about kissing Thorn. It felt strange to imagine myself having sex with him when I was spending all my nights with Hunt. Thorn caught the unease on my face. Hunt? He read my expression like an open book. I've been sleeping with him for a long time now. That fire will burn out anyway. They always do. He waved the waiter over so he could order another drink. He hit the whiskey again, even though it was only a little past noon.
How are things with him?
About the same.
And what does the same mean?
He stirred his drink before he brought the glass to his lips.
It's just sex now. We don't talk as much anymore.
Thor nodded.
I wondered what would happen after we got engaged.
We didn't talk for over a week, but he came back around, a little hostile. It's been getting easier ever since.
Maybe he's finally given up.
Hans still told me he loved me, said it with such meaning that I lost my grasp of reality. He touched me delicately as he whispered those words to me, his affection washing over me like his warm breath.
Yeah, maybe.
The waitress brought our lunch, two garden salads with no dressing. Thorn added extra chicken to his so he would get enough protein for the day. He was as obsessed with his diet as he was with making money.
I don't think I told you the good news.
He finished chewing before he spoke.
What good news?
Kyle Livingston and I have partnered up. Thorn cared about food more than anything else, almost. But he ignored his lunch and stared at me in shock.
When did this happen?
Earlier this week.
Vincent Hunt never made good on his word?
He wiped his mouth with a napkin and set down his fork.
No, he did. But Kyle didn't take the offer.
Thorne's eyebrows practically popped off his head.
Why the hell not?
Hunt talked him out of it. Said Kyle should work with me instead.
Seriously? And it worked?
I nodded. I'm not entirely sure what he said to Kyle, but he basically said Kyle believed in my partnership more than Hunt's father's. He said I had a lot to offer and Vincent wasn't trustworthy. Hunt somehow used his influence to talk Kyle out of a deal of a lifetime.
Jesus.
Thorne sat back in his chair, still floored by the revelation.
This changes everything.
I know. Kyle and I have already gotten off to a great start. He's easy to work with, and he respects me.
He'd better, Thorne snapped. If he did otherwise, I'd make his life a living hell.
I smiled at his protectiveness, my future husband immediately turning into a guard dog. Anyway, Hunt made it happen. He slowly nodded as his eyes shifted away. A quiet sigh left his lips, and his shoulders straightened as he considered what I'd said. His eyes then landed on something interesting because his pupils immediately contracted.
Speaking of the devil.
I turned my head to see Hunt enter the restaurant with a gorgeous brunette leading the way. She was in a tight black dress, matching heels, and a pink wallet. Black frames sat on the bridge of her nose, making her look smart and sexy. Like any other instance when I saw him with an attractive woman, I felt sick to my stomach. I was far too confident in myself to ever feel jealous or threatened, but with Hunt, all my suave coolness evaporated. I was uneasy and unnerved. I tried not to stare, but I couldn't help but be irritated by the sight of her. There was an explanation for this, so I just had to stay calm. They reached their table, and Hunt pulled out the chair for her like a perfect gentleman. The sickness was getting worse. Thorne eyed them before he shifted his expression back to me. I knew exactly what he was thinking.
One moment he helps you out with a great business deal, and then the next moment, he's having lunch with a gorgeous woman.
He shook his head.
Just like old times.
Sweat collected on my chest, and I felt my breathing escalate. Hunt spent all of his evenings in bed with me, so I found it hard to believe he had time for anyone else. When he told me he loved me, it seemed like those words were coming from the bottom of his heart. I wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt because I didn't want to be played so fiercely.
Hunt sat perfectly straight in his gray suit, his musculature obvious even through his clothing. He wore a black watch, shiny dress shoes, and he stared at her head-on with a serious expression. They seemed to be in the midst of an intense conversation, which didn't bode well either. I might hurl everything I just ate. "Let's stop by and say hello." Thorne placed his napkin on the table. "I'm not doing that. Come on, we can catch him when he least expects it." "No, even if he is sneaking around, I'm not going to march over there and act like a crazy jealous woman." "You won't. Just be cool." I drank my water. "Forget it." Thorne turned back to them.
"Then I guess we'll just watch what happens."
They talked all through lunch. Not a single touch transpired through the conversation. He didn't rest his hand on hers on the table. If he did, I probably would have lost my shit. Thorne and I were long finished with our lunch, but we kept ordering drinks just to stall. I felt pathetic lurking around so I could watch Hunt. I hated not trusting him. I missed the days when I didn't think twice about what he was doing. I could see him with a beautiful woman and not even consider the possibility he was two-timing me. The trust was ironclad. But once I'd seen a photograph of him kissing some woman, we hadn't gained back everything we'd lost.
"I'm not sure what to make of it," Thorne said as he kept staring at them.
"Maybe they're just colleagues."
"That woman is drop-dead sexy." "Yeah, right."
I glared at him. "You aren't making me feel better."
"It's not my job to make you feel better. It's my job to tell you what you don't want to hear."
He eyed them again.
"And if I saw that woman in a bar, I'd be buying all of her drinks until she was in my sheets."
If Thorne thought she was sexy, then Hunt must have thought the same thing. But I shouldn't let that bother me so much. I should remain confident like I'd always been, not to feel threatened by it. I kept drinking my water, but I wished I had something stronger. They both stood from the table. Thank God, it was finally over. Thorne raised his hand in the air and whistled. I slammed my drink down. "What the hell are you doing?" Hunt turned in our direction and stilled when he saw us. The woman did as well. This couldn't be happening. Thorne waved him over.
"I caught him with his pants down. We'll see how he plays this."
"I hate you so much right now," I whispered.
"Hate you too, sweetheart," he said with a grin.
Hunt led the way, one hand in his pocket with his typically stoic expression. He didn't seem alarmed at all by our presence, even if we'd been watching him the entire time. He arrived at the table with the woman beside him.
"Thorne?"
He extended his hand. Thorne shook it, his smile gone.
"Hunt?"
He turned to me next but didn't shake my hand.
"Titan?"
Instead of touching me, he greeted me with an intense expression he never showed to anyone else. Whether we were in a crowded room or not, he looked at me like I belonged to him and no one else. The ring on my finger meant nothing to him.
I didn't say anything back.
Hunt indicated the woman beside him.
"This is Mackenzie."
He introduced her to the both of us. I shook her hand but loathed every second of it. I ignored her beaming smile and the way her hair perfectly settled around her shoulders when she stood upright again. Hunt continued to behave naturally.
"Mackenzie is one of my top candidates to head my HR department. This was her second interview."
"It was a job interview. Oh, thank God." I nearly clutched my chest in relief. Mackenzie nodded.
"It was a pleasure to meet both of you."
Hunt didn't say goodbye, but he gave me that scorching expression before he turned away and walked out with Mackenzie. He didn't place his hand on the small of her back the way he did with me. His hands always remained in his pockets, nowhere near this woman he just interviewed. When they were gone, it was just the two of us again.
Well, I feel better, Thorne said.
Yeah, I do too.
Except I didn't want to picture him working with her on a regular basis. Thorne grinned.
Still jealous?
I'm not jealous, I lied.
He chuckled.
You can lie to Hunt, and he'll probably believe you. But you can't lie to me.
He winked.
Don't worry, I'll keep your secret.
I covered my frown by drinking my water.
Chapter 5 Hunt. I stepped onto the top floor of Stratosphere and made my way into Titan's office. She sat behind her desk, her hands perfectly aligned on the keyboard, with her eyes directed at the screen. She finished her email even after I stepped into the room and took a seat. I crossed my legs and looked over my portfolio as I waited. No one ever made me wait, but Titan wasn't the kind of woman who waited for anyone either. I loved that about her. She finished before she turned to me.
How's your day?
Good. Yours? Just a few hours ago, she'd spotted me with one of my most competitive applicants. Mackenzie was a Harvard graduate who'd had a year-long internship at a respectable software company. Her grades were impressive, and her demeanor was exceptional. I could see her leading an entire building of workers and handling complicated cases. When I'd looked at Titan in that restaurant, I knew she was uncomfortable. She didn't trust me, feared I was on a date with Mackenzie. It pissed me off that she thought so little of me, that I would be fucking her every night but still run off with another woman behind her back. I reminded myself I needed to be understanding, due to our sensitive situation, but that didn't dim my annoyance. Like I could ever want another woman but Titan. Ridiculous. Titan took a minute to answer my question.
It's been long.
I didn't bring up our earlier encounter, and I knew she wouldn't either. There wasn't anything to say. I could point out her obvious jealousy, but it seemed like a moot point. I started from the beginning and discussed the figures for this past week. We'd just launched our holiday marketing program, and all the retailers were shifting to meet our needs. We went back and forth for 45 minutes straight. Titan was always on top of things, even though she seemed busier than I was. Her insights were genius, and she could juggle a huge amount of information without getting things confused. She did all of it with a smooth persona, never giving any indication she was stressed. In fact, she seemed almost bored. She was an excellent businesswoman. When we finished, there was nothing more to say. This was the time I excused myself to my office or I returned to my building. But I chose to sit there instead, spinning the pen in my fingertips as I watched her. My eyes roamed over her body, wishing I were looking at her naked instead of covered in designer clothes. Titan met my look, her guard up high.
Yes.
I hope you felt stupid today. I'd thought I could swallow my anger, but it slipped out anyway. She knew exactly what I meant, judging by the way her eyes narrowed.
I didn't. Thorne was the suspicious one.
And you were the jealous one. Instead of denying it, she flipped through the papers on her desk.
I have a lot of work to do, Hunt. I'll see you later.
No reason to be jealous, Titan. You're the only woman I want. How many times do I have to tell you that?
Enough times to make me forget about that picture of you kissing that woman.
She fired back with the same rage while keeping her voice at a low level. I didn't explain the photograph because I already had a million times. I kept spinning the pen, giving my fingers something to do. You shouldn't feel threatened by anyone, not when you're Titan.
But Tatum is threatened by a gorgeous woman Thorne can't stop staring at,
she countered.
And if he can't stop thinking about fucking her, then neither can you. Not that I should care.
My eyes narrowed in offense. That's not what I was thinking.
Whatever, Hunt.
I wasn't lying. I was thinking about her qualifications for the position.
Whatever you say,
she said dismissively. If the desk weren't in the way, I'd grab her by the neck. I slammed my fist onto the wooden surface, making everything shake like an earthquake had struck. Look at me. She stilled at my violent reaction and shifted her gaze to mine. I won't hire her, if that's what you want. That seemed to piss her off more because she rose to her feet, trembling like she was about to launch her own earthquake. I stood up, towering over her to ensure I had the upper hand.
Don't insult me like that ever again.
Insult you? I asked, having no idea what pissed her off so much.
If she's qualified for the position, you'd better hire her. Disqualifying her just because she's attractive is unacceptable. I wouldn't respect you for discriminating against someone over something so petty.
That was my girl.
You understand me?
I tried not to smile. I loved her pride, her feminism. She put aside her own jealousy because she knew she was being self-centered. She didn't directly admit her wrongdoing, but it was pretty much a confession. Then I'm going to hire her.
Good.
She returned to her seat, shrugging off the conversation. I remained on my feet and placed my hand against her desk, invading her space. You want to know what I was thinking about when I was interviewing her? She wouldn't meet my gaze, pretending to read a document instead. I was thinking about texting you.
To say what?
She whispered. I leaned farther over the desk so my lips were near her ear. And that I missed you. I drank from my glass while one hand rested in the pocket of my tuxedo. Pine talked about the work he was doing with his father, pushing papers around and crunching numbers. When a beautiful woman walked by in a ball gown, his eyes always followed her until she was gone from sight. I didn't notice any of them. How's work? Pine asked. The same old shit. I didn't discuss business outside of work often. It seemed like a conflict of interest, and it was also boring. That can't be true if you partnered up with Tatum Titan. He nudged me in the side. She's just like another executive. But she's hot. My eyes shifted to him, a warning in my gaze. What? He asked innocently. You don't think she's hot? I thought she was damn hot, but I was the only person who had the right to say it out loud. Don't talk about her like that. Jeez, chill. Didn't mean any harm by it. Then just stop talking. I drank from my glass again. We were gathered together for a charity fundraiser. They'd asked me to give a speech, since I was responsible for the largest charity donation of the year. I didn't do it for publicity, and now it was biting me in the ass. Pine peered across the room. There she is. I'd been expecting her. She told me she was coming with Thorn, and I gritted my teeth in silence. I didn't like seeing them together, even if she spent all her nights with me. Just watching him hold her hand irritated me. He got to claim her for the world to see when it should have been me. She wore a black dress with a deep cut in the back. It showed her spine all the way to the top of her ass. It highlighted the small muscles of her frame, her perfect posture, and her flawless skin. The steep curve of her back made her ass more prominent, and I'd have a hard time staring at it this evening. Her hair was pulled up in an elegant updo, allowing the skin of her neck to be revealed. I couldn't see her face because she was turned the other way, but I could see the way her dress reached the floor. She looked like a queen. Pine whistled under his breath. Jesus Christ. My hand rested in my pocket, but it automatically tightened into a fist. Be very careful, Pine. He took my warning and swallowed his next words. Oh, shit. What? I asked. Did you know your father was going to be here? My eyes moved to the doorway, and I saw him step inside in a black tuxedo. He greeted people at the door, wearing his charismatic smile. A woman in her 20s was on his arm, beautiful and exotic. My father and I crossed paths rarely, and we pretended the other didn't exist, but this was the first time I'd seen him since he threatened me in my office. He wouldn't make a move toward me out in the open, but he wouldn't hide his hostility. Tonight would be interesting. Thorn became preoccupied talking to his acquaintances, so I appeared at her side with a flute of champagne. You look beautiful. She dropped her smile momentarily when she realized I had joined her. She knew I would be there, so it couldn't have caught her off guard. She took the glass, looked into my eyes in a way she never looked at anyone else, and then took a drink.
Thank you.
I leaned down and kissed her on the cheek, taking my time, feeling her skin with my lips. In a few hours, I'd be the one peeling off her dress and tasting her everywhere. Both of her nipples would be in my mouth, sucked until they were raw. My tongue would explore her folds and taste her arousal for me. I would make love to her for the night, convincing her she was the only woman who existed in my thoughts and my heart. She held her breath when I kissed her, feeling the wave of chemistry the instant we touched. We could both feel it as soon as we were in the same vicinity. I could take her breath away so easily, and she could bring me to my knees with the snap of a finger. I pulled away, resisting the urge to wrap my arm around her petite waist. I wanted to drag my fingertips down her bare back, feel the smooth skin that my chest would soon be pressed against. We stared at each other for a solid minute. The crowd enjoyed their evening with good company and fine liquor. Laughter erupted in different areas, loud and fake. People passed us as they ventured to greet someone they recognized. We remained absolutely still, just looking at one another. I savored the look of her red-painted lips. Her makeup was done heavily for the evening, creating sultry eyes, gorgeous cheekbones, and a plump mouth. It didn't matter how she dressed herself up or how she did her makeup, she looked beautiful every time I saw her.
"You look nice,"
she whispered back, her fingertips still around the stem of her glass. "Thank you."
"You look good in a tuxedo."
"I bet it'll look better on your bedroom floor." A slight blush entered her cheeks while a smile emerged. She covered it up by taking a drink. "Vincent Hunt is here. Wanted to warn you."
"I saw him a few minutes ago. Has he spoken to you?"
I shook my head. "I doubt he will."
"I don't know what to expect from him."
"Don't be afraid of him."
"Who said I was?"
My eyes softened at the hardness in her voice. I couldn't swipe away the slight smile that raised the corner of my mouth. "I love you." The thought entered my brain less than a second before it left my mouth. I hadn't planned to say those words to her. They just came out unexpectedly, straight from my heart and into her ears. I dismissed myself from her company and ventured elsewhere. If I spent too much time at her side, it could make things suspicious. The last thing I wanted was for people to think she was a two-timing liar. People didn't understand we were in love, but I hoped one day they did. I took my seat beside Pine at the table. "They're supposed to serve dinner soon."
"Is that all you care about?" I asked.
"Other than women and booze, yes." My speech was short and sweet, and I took the liberty of staring at Titan the entire time I spoke. She sat in the center of the room, so it was easy to appear to be looking at everyone. A blush entered her cheeks, a reaction she only made for me. Affection was in her eyes because she knew she was still the center of my focus, even in a room full of 1,000 people. The applause sounded, and then I took my seat. Pine clapped me on the shoulder.
"That was a great speech. Who wrote it?"
"No one."
"So you did?"
he asked. "I just made it up on the fly." He gave me an incredulous look.
"Ugh, I hate you."
The ceremony continued and the host talked about the money we'd raised throughout the year. They opened the auction, the last push to raise as much as they could before the end of the year. Rare paintings, trips, and other donations were sold off. I didn't buy anything. When that was over, dinner concluded and everyone left their seats to mingle once again. I noticed Titan excuse herself from the circle of men she was talking to and head to the bathroom. I wasn't going to pass up the opportunity. I'd been staring at her back all night, wanting to lavish her beautiful skin with my kisses, I wanted to taste that lipstick. I wanted to hike up her dress and fuck her up against the wall. I excused myself and moved into the hallway, trailing behind her. No one was around, so the opportunity was perfect. One stride equaled three of hers, making it easy to catch up to her without pushing myself. My hand gripped her elbow, and I guided her past the bathroom and down a different hallway. She flashed her hostile gaze at me and argued under her breath,
"Hunt, no."
I pulled her around the corner and pushed her against the wall.
"You don't say no to me."
"You bet your ass I do."
My hand circled her neck and I kissed her. The second my lips were on hers, she was silenced. Her mouth hesitated for an instant before she kissed me back, her body succumbing to the desires we'd felt all night. I knew this couldn't last forever, not much longer than a minute or two, but I hated standing in a room with her while pretending she didn't mean the world to me. I just wanted to kiss her, to fall into the fantasy that she really was mine. Her hands moved up my chest and she wrapped her leg around my waist. I pinned her against the wall and gripped her thigh while holding it around me. My chest pressed her into the wall and I kissed her, pretending her back was to my mattress and I was plowing myself deep inside her. My cock was wedged right against her clit and I ground slowly, touching her in just the right place. She moaned into my mouth as she gripped my shoulders. I wanted to do this forever, but minutes had already passed. If I waited too long, I was asking for trouble. I sucked her bottom lip, then kissed the corner of her mouth, before I pulled away, full of remorse that I had to stop. She wore the same look of disappointment. I hated this. She licked her thumb, then smeared it across my mouth, wiping away the lipstick stain. She kept her eyes on me as she did it, concentrating on my gaze. I didn't give a damn about the lipstick. She lowered her leg, then cleared her throat as she smoothed out her dress. "I'll leave first." My hand moved to hers, and I gave it a gentle squeeze before I walked away. I turned the corner, relieved not to see anyone in the hallway, and then I returned to the party, still hard in my slacks. I was surrounded by people I knew, faces that I recognized. I'd done business with these executives, partied with some, and slept with a few others, but they were just a blur of people who really meant nothing to me. I'd shared experiences with them, but that was nothing in comparison to the experiences I had with one woman. I didn't care about anyone there. The only person I cared about wasn't standing beside me, where she belonged. I saw the crowd part before I actually saw him. But he was a foot taller than most people, and he had a presence that made everyone else's seem insignificant. Like a shark circling prey, he took his time getting to me, wanting my heart rate to spike just so he could listen to it in the water. But my pulse remained exactly the same. There wasn't a single person in the world who intimidated me, and the one person who could get my heart rate to spike was a woman, which she did from a single look. He approached me with the same expression of confidence. He didn't have a drink in his hand like everyone else, and one hand rested in the pocket of his slacks. His jaw was cleanly shaven, his eyes were dark, and he wore a subtly contentious expression. He stopped in front of me, facing me head on. I met his look, but didn't extend my hand. He didn't initiate the gesture either. Everyone was too busy with their company to notice us. Only Pine was aware of the situation because he was standing beside me. He took the cue and found something else to do. Another minute of silence. Hostility. Eyes full of rage. The standoff seemed to last forever. He approached me, so I refused to speak first. The last thing he ever said to me was a threat, which he executed. I wasn't going to put my cards on the table when I didn't know what game we were playing. Maybe he wanted to play blackjack when I was only prepared for a round of poker. He clenched his jaw slightly before he finally said something.
"Excellent speech."
I wasn't expecting a compliment, even if it was empty.
"Thank you."
"I remember when you asked me to help you on your first speech. You were running for president of your eighth grade class."
His eyes shifted back and forth as he looked into mine, absorbing every single expression I made. My face was a mask, but he searched for more anyway.
Diesel, do you remember that?
Like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
I won. He nodded.
Yes, you did. Because I raised a winner.
His words didn't seem like a threat on the outside, but I knew everything exchanged in this conversation would be a veiled warning. I thwarted both of his plans, and he didn't swallow that well.
I shouldn't have underestimated you.
No, you shouldn't have.
He looked me up and down, as if he were sizing me up.
I won't make that mistake again.
He prepared to walk away. I kept my guard up, waiting for anything. He would never raise a fist to me or do something to draw attention to us both, but he was also unpredictable. He turned back to me slightly, having one more thing to say.
Tell Titan I said hello. I'm sure you'll see her later tonight.
Chapter 6. Titan. You don't need to walk me inside, Thorn. He parked at the curb in his Ferrari and killed the engine. I want to make sure you get inside all right. You've seen my right hook. I can knock some teeth out if I have to. He smiled with fondness. I know, sweetheart, but it helps me sleep better at night when I don't leave things to chance. You're the most important person in my life. I can't afford to let anything bad happen to you. I smiled at his words, touched by his heart. Thorn didn't behave this way with the women he bedded, at least not to the best of my knowledge. They seemed like cold and meaningless relationships, not the kind I had with Hunt. Thorn didn't see the same woman twice, always looking for new entertainment. But when he spoke to me that way, it made me wonder if he was wasting his potential. We got out of the car and headed into the building. Thorn? Hmm? He hit the button and waited for the elevator to arrive. You're really sweet, you know that? He regarded me with a confused expression. I'm only like that to you. It makes me wonder if you'd be happier being sweet to someone else. Someone you're in love with. The doors opened and he stepped inside. What are you getting at, Titan? I followed him inside and the doors shut. Are you sure you don't want to fall in love with someone? Give a relationship a chance? Because you have the potential to be a great man for the right woman. He smirked like I'd said something funny and shrugged it off. I'm sure. Have you thought about it? I'm incapable of love, he said simply. I'm sweet to you because I respect you. I'm sweet to you because I trust you. You're family to me. But everyone else out there, they mean nothing to me. I've never met a woman I've ever given a damn about. That's not how I view women. They're just objects to me. You can think less of me all you want, but that's the cold truth. He shook his head and stared at the buttons on the wall. The floor numbers lit up as we moved. I have the perfect life. Why would I want to change it? I stared at his handsome face, seeing the truth in his eyes. First of all, I don't think less of you. He smiled again. That's why I love you. I just want to make sure I'm not taking something away from you. Trust me, you aren't. I've never loved a woman and I never will. And that's not because I won't allow myself to. I just don't care. One day when we're old, I won't be able to pick up women anymore. But that's fine, because I'll have you. We'll love each other, have our kids, and have our success. How could I possibly want anything more than that? The doors opened and we stepped inside. Hunt was sitting on the couch in the living room, a glass of scotch on the table. His bow tie was undone, and his shoes were kicked off. He must have come here straight after the charity gala, one goal on his mind. Thorn turned to him, his carefree attitude evaporating.
Good night, Titan.
Good night. He stepped back into the elevator and returned to the lobby. I set my clutch on the table and slipped my heels off. My feet practically screamed the second they were flat again. Hunt rose from the couch and walked toward me, his feet bare against the hardwood floor. He crowded my personal space immediately and grabbed me like he hadn't touched me in months. His hand cupped the back of my head, and he kissed me hard on the mouth, escalating our kiss the second we touched. My hand moved to his wrist, and I kissed him back, my mouth opening with his and closing again. He gave me his tongue, and I took it greedily. I could taste champagne on his tongue, along with the distinct hint of whiskey. His mouth broke from mine, and he trailed kisses down my jawline until he reached my neck. He buried his face in my skin and lavished me with intense kisses, his hands gripping and squeezing me. I didn't find kissing as erotic as other things, but make-out sessions with Hunt were the biggest turn-on I'd ever had. Every time our lips moved together, I trembled. When his tongue swiped against mine, I turned to mush. He turned me around and pressed his face directly into the back of my updo. His hand squeezed my biceps as he smelled my hair, a slight growl coming from his throat. He tilted his head down and pressed a kiss to the top of my spine. It was a wet kiss with a little tongue. Then slowly he moved down, trailing over my bare skin until he moved to his knees on the floor. His mouth moved all the way down to the top of my ass. I closed my eyes and moaned. He ran his mouth all the way back to my neck, then pushed the thin straps off my shoulders. The gown slid off my body until it hit the floor, revealing me standing in a black thong. I heard his clothes drop a moment later, and then his arms were wrapped around me again, his bare chest pressed against me. His chest was warm and hard, like leaning against a slab of concrete that was hot from sitting in the sun all day. We moved to my bedroom next, and my back hit the soft sheets. Hunt pulled my thong off, then positioned himself between my thighs. He didn't appear to be in charge, and I didn't want to be. Right now, we were just a man and a woman. He folded me underneath him until I was as small as possible. He had a perfect angle, and he sank me into the mattress as he covered me like clouds covered the sun. He tilted my body, then slid into me, pushing his thick cock deep inside me. It was a soft thrust, but it was packed with determination. My arms wrapped around his neck, and my fingers dug into the back of his hair. Diesel. His strands were soft and thick, the same color as his dark eyes. I was stretched wide apart, stuffed with his enormous dick, and I'd never felt more like a woman. I looked into his eyes and found a connection with the dark irises that hinted of danger. He was dark, beautiful, and enormous. I widened my legs further and pulled him harder into me, enjoying the sensation I'd been looking forward to all evening. He moaned as his cock twitched inside me. I'd had to stare at Hunt from across the room all night. I had to see his muscular shoulders in his crisp tuxedo, wishing my hands were gripping them. I had to watch him smile at his colleagues, seeing the slightest boyish charm that he possessed. I had to observe women touch him inappropriately on the arm, when a handshake would have sufficed. I remained by Thorne's side, the exact place I belonged, and I had to pretend the love of my life wasn't standing in that same room. I had to squeeze my thighs together as I sat because I kept picturing this moment. One hand fisted into my hair, exactly where it belonged. He tugged on me aggressively and started to thrust, fucking me deep into my bed. His chest rubbed against my nipples as he moved, chasing them after a few strokes. I already wanted to come. Diesel. I'd already said his name once, but I didn't want to stop.
He'd kissed me in the hallway where anyone could have seen us, but neither one of us seemed to give a damn. We just had to have each other. It didn't matter what the consequences were. I'm so in love with you. It was a thought that didn't come from my heart. It came from my soul. Every part of my body was hopelessly in love with this man. I was on my back with my legs spread, taking in as much of him as I could. I wanted this to last forever, to experience this beautiful high with him. He looked into my eyes without a hint of surprise. He didn't smile or gloat, taking in the words like he'd expected to hear them all night. He continued to fuck me at the regular pace, giving it to me deep and good, but not fast and harsh. Baby, I'm in love with you. We faced each other in my bed, both of us naked and slightly covered by the sheets. Hunt always seemed to be warm, so the sheets only partially covered him. I usually had them pulled up to my shoulders. His eyes were on me, etched in hardness. He stared at me like he usually did, but he seemed to be thinking of something else. It was something I'd never seen before. Ordinarily, when his eyes were on me, it meant I had his complete focus. What are you thinking about? His eyes shifted slightly as he returned to me. The charity gala. Are you replaying your speech? Trust me, it was great. He didn't crack a smile. Not my speech. Now I couldn't deny the annoyance on his face. What's on your mind? My father. I'd assumed they would ignore each other like they usually did, but perhaps they'd had an interaction I didn't notice. What happened? He complimented my speech. That doesn't sound so bad. Then he reminded me of the time he helped me prepare my speech in 8th grade. I was running for president of the student body, and he spent an entire Saturday helping me work through draft after draft until it was perfect. I imagined a younger version of Hunt, with the same dark hair and dark eyes, except he possessed the happiness of a young boy, someone who only cared about his friends, sports, and school crushes. Did you win? I did. Then it looks like you guys made a good team. Yeah. Anything else happen? Hunt paused for a long time, his eyes shifting away from mine altogether. He knows we're sleeping together. The charming story of Hunt and his father turned into old news. What? He said that? Basically. But how would he know? He shook his head. I don't know. He rolled to his back and stared at the ceiling. But if anyone really pays attention, it's obvious. He probably sees the way I look at you, the way you look at me. I haven't been photographed with anyone in months. He's seen the way I bend over backward for you. It's not that surprising. Do you think we need to worry about it? He rested his hand on my chest. He doesn't care about my personal life. He's more interested in ruining my business life. That's what matters to him. You're sure about that? Because that interview you gave was pretty personal. He took a deep breath and sighed. I don't know. Now the terror started to seep into my chest. Vincent Hunt was a loose cannon with a need for revenge. There was no way to know what he might do. I know he respects you. Why do you say that? He told me he didn't understand how I earned the love of an incredible woman like you. My entire body softened. He thinks highly of you. I don't think he would do something to hurt you. You didn't do anything to him. I didn't take that deal. He knows that it isn't personal. I took Kyle. He knows I'm the one who interfered with that. Maybe there was nothing to worry about. Maybe there was. I think he just said that to get under my skin. I was standing in a room full of people who have no idea what's going on right under their noses. My father just wants me to know he's not stupid like everyone else. Maybe. My hand moved to his chest, and I massaged his hardness. Hunt turned silent, done with the subject. I scooted closer to him and rested my face on his shoulder. My hair dragged across his skin, and I hooked my arm around his waist. I don't think your father hates you. Hunt turned his head in my direction, his lips resting against my forehead. Then you must be confused. The only reason why he's doing this is because you told the public he's a terrible father. Because he is. But that's just one sliver of him. Maybe he did treat Brett badly, but your father always loved you. He spent years before that doing everything for you. Hunt tensed visibly underneath me. You're defending him? No, just explaining his point of view. Hunt suddenly sat up, causing me to abruptly slide off and back onto the mattress. Well, maybe you should stop. He faced the window, his muscular back strong and rigid. I sat up and pulled the sheet over my chest, knowing this was tricky territory. I think your father is just hurt and doesn't understand what to do with those emotions. And I think you're wrong, he said coldly. Why else would he bring up that story? What does it matter? He got out of bed and immediately pulled on his boxers. Hunt, get back in bed. I should get going anyway. He pulled on his slacks, then grabbed his shoes. He left every night, but never this early and never angry. Your father never antagonized you until you went public with that story. Being estranged from you is probably difficult, but to hear you talk about him so coldly probably hurt his feelings. He's had years to apologize and make it right. He doesn't give a damn. He yanked his shirt on and buttoned it up. I don't want to talk about this anymore. I got out of bed and pulled on one of his t-shirts. You always say you value my opinion. Yes. He finally turned to me, giving me a fierce stare. About business. Stuff you understand. You don't understand my father or my family, so don't bother trying. He walked around me, dismissing me coldly. I'd never seen Hunt act this way. I'd never seen him push me away so furiously. I'd never seen him cover himself in armor and shut me out completely. It's my job to tell you the truth, not what you want to hear. Maybe if you understand your father, you can handle him better. I don't want to handle him. He left the bedroom. I followed him all the way to the elevator. Just listen to me. No. He turned to face me, the loving expression long gone. You listen to me. My father is an asshole. Always has been and always will be. He came to my office and threatened me. First, he tried to turn you against me. Then he tried to punish you for not choosing him. What kind of man does that? Not once did I defend his actions. Didn't sound like it. I'm just explaining his behavior. He's not doing this because he hates you. He's doing it because you hurt him. What difference does it make? It makes a huge difference. That means you could work it out if you wanted to. He clenched his jaw and hit the button for the elevator. We'll never work it out, Titan. We'll always be enemies. I sincerely hope not. He shot me another glare. I'm done talking about this. I had more to say, but Hunt obviously didn't want to listen to it. I didn't want to push him away. The only place I wanted him was in my bed. I didn't mean to upset you. Didn't seem like it. The elevator doors opened and he stepped inside. Please stay. So you can kick me out in a few hours? He slammed his hand against the button. No thanks. The doors closed. I sighed and dragged my hands down my face, regretting pushing him away. I didn't contact Hunt the next day. He didn't talk to me either. He didn't come by Stratosphere. I knew he was still pissed. Talking to him would just make it worse. I had to give him more space to come around. We hadn't fought like this since I'd gotten engaged. That had divided us, and we didn't speak for an entire week. Now we were strangers again. I stayed patient for the next few days. I didn't text him or bother him. He would come to me when he was ready, but I didn't want to go to him until he was ready for me. On the fourth day, I couldn't wait any longer. I called him. It rang for a long time. It was almost a voicemail. He probably wouldn't answer. Like he was waiting for the very last minute on purpose, he finally took the call. But he didn't greet me with words. He announced his presence with his silent hostility. I could feel it like a winter chill. "Hey." I stood in my penthouse with my bare feet on the hardwood floor. I was still in my skirt and blouse because I was working at the kitchen table. Still nothing. "I apologized for making you upset, but I won't apologize for what I said." Silence. "Hunt?" Nothing. I wasn't going to talk to a wall. "When you're ready to talk, call me." I was about to hang up. "Wait." I kept the phone against my ear. "I accept your apology. When it comes to my father, it's very difficult for me. I don't like to talk about it." I picked up on that. I finally got a slight smile over the phone. It carried on into his words. "I'm sorry I was harsh. I accept your apology. I've missed you. Not as much as I've missed you." This was the Hunt that I liked, the affectionate but masculine version. His smile deepened. "I'll be there in 15 minutes. My heart finally soared now that we were okay. The painful tension had finally passed. I knew this conversation about his father wasn't completely over. It could be revisited at some point. But for now, it was on hold. "Can you make it 10?
Chapter 7. Hunt. I wasn't sure why I got so upset with Titan. She didn't cross the line with what she said, she didn't say anything insulting, but I didn't want to hear anything when it came to my father. Perhaps I had more issues than I realized. I finally returned to my office after a meeting that ran later than I anticipated. I skipped lunch because there wasn't time, and the only thing sitting in my belly was the last cup of coffee I drank. Natalie spoke through the intercom.
"Sir, Vincent Hunt is here to see you."
I froze in place, but my surprise quickly vanished. This unexpected meeting shouldn't be so unexpected. My father would execute his vendetta against me until he was finally satisfied with the results. He wanted to catch me with my pants down, see me with my guard down. Unfortunately for him, my guard was never down. He picked a bad time to stop by because I had more important things to worry about, but I wouldn't turn him away and look like a pussy. If I excused him, it would seem like I was avoiding him. I didn't avoid anyone. "Send him in," I said coldly.
"Yes, sir."
I closed my laptop, shoved my paperwork into my drawer, and hid all traces of what I was working on. I didn't want him to know more than he needed to. Megaland could have been his, and if he knew what my plans were, it was guaranteed he would try to sabotage them. Did other people have fathers that hated them so much? Vincent walked inside a moment later, dressed in stealth black with a matching expression. Even his watch was black. He stared me down the second we were in the same room together. He was just as hostile as in our last encounter. He held his physique perfectly straight as he welcomed himself into my personal space. Like last time, he unbuttoned the front of his jacket before he gracefully lowered himself into the leather armchair. He crossed his legs, a black folder tucked under his arm. This should be fun. A long time ago, I learned to never